Welcome to the Global Research News Hour in the summer. My name is Michael Welch. The Global Research News Hour is a special radio collaboration between the Center for Research on Globalization and campus community radio station CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, on the occupied territory of the Anishinaabe and the homeland of the Métis peoples. We are heard on the Progressive Radio Network at prn.fm, and on partner radio stations across Canada and the United States. We are also podcast on the website globalresearch.ca. During the summer months, we will be presenting special programming. This week, at the close of the Democratic National Convention, we provide opinions and perspectives from those trying to get the ear of Democrats and the wider U.S. public. Over the course of the next hour, we present the 2016 Democratic National Convention, Voices from the Streets of Philadelphia.
I was bruised and battered, I couldn't tell what I felt. I was unrecognizable to myself. Saw my reflection in the window and didn't know my own face. Oh brother, you're gonna leave me wasting away. Streets of Philadelphia.
Philadelphia has played host to a major political party's quadrennial convention aimed at nominating a candidate for president. The last time was the Republican National Convention, which selected George W. Bush in 2000. This time it was the Democratic Party's turn. The contest on the Democratic side has proven to be historic in some sense, by virtue of its two major mismatched contenders. It was in the Wells Fargo Center in South Philadelphia where the drama approached its climax under an international spotlight. What happened at the convention center stage is amply documented elsewhere. The purpose of this program is to profile the passionate voices on the outside, various groups, individuals, and constituencies determined to send a message to the gathering politicos as they gathered to formulate a strategy for governing the country. I had arrived in the city a couple of days before the convention officially started in the hope of catching those voices and the stories bound to be left out of mainstream media discourse. I started Saturday within the city's Broad Street subway line.
I'd love to welcome the Democratic National Convention to Philadelphia.
Henry McDonough, I'm from Maryland originally. I've lived in South Philly for 10 years, and it's the best city in the world.
Okay. So I know that there's a big Democratic National Convention in town.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about that?
I don't like the Democrats, I don't like the Republicans, and I think our whole political system needs a overhaul.
Anything else you'd like to share about Philadelphia?
It's a great city, but you might still get beat up.
Thanks a lot.
No problem.
My name is Sterling, Terrace Sterling. I've been in Philly since 78, I think. I haven't had much trouble, some trouble, in areas such as, you might say, ghetto areas. Crime is still high and different things, but with prayer and unity, working together, we overcome a lot.
Across the United States right now, there's a lot of concern about black people being particularly unsafe. Is that something that you've witnessed in Philadelphia?
I don't have that problem.
All the guys, black guys on the corner are not bad. Look at me, I'm going to preach the gospel. Okay, all the police are not bad. Look at him, he's talking to the kid. It's all love. So you can't judge and stereotype and be prejudiced. And you can't hate and you can't blow things up to the point where you want to make matters worse by hating.
So what do you think about, there's this big Democratic National Convention in town over the next few days. How is that impacting on you?
Well, I'm a voter. We just hope that someone gets in office that cares about everyone.
My name is Lydia Avila, and I am the executive director of the Power Shift Network, which is the organization that is hosting Power Shift 2016. Power Shift 2016 is a conference and training ground for young climate activists and leaders. We target and typically bring out young folks under 30. Our main constituency is 18 to 25, college-age students typically. And these are all folks that are typically very much interested in climate justice and environmental work, but are looking for ways to make a difference in their community, on their campus. And so this Power Shift 2016 serves as a space for them to become educated on and trained on the kinds of skills in like organizing and activism and advocacy that allows them to make an impact in their community. The young people being here in Philadelphia in the eve of this national convention is more so a sign that young people care about climate change and that it's not by any means at the bottom of our list in terms of our interest areas. A USA Today poll that they did with Rock the Vote, climate change and clean energy expansion was on the top three of the issues that millennials care about. And it seems like all of our candidates seem to forget about that. And so we wanted to remind them that not only do we care about this issue, but we want to encourage them all and push them all to do more. At 18 years old, if you have the opportunity to talk to a young person about how they can make a difference and how they can help change society, that can be really powerful. And that can be, like I said, through organizer trainings, like what we're offering this weekend, but it can also be through, the importance of getting your friends to vote. And that's also something that we're digging into this weekend, of course. So
my name is Lindsay Petros, and I'm here on behalf of NextGen Climate. NextGen Climate Pennsylvania is looking to turn out voters to support climate action candidates. So we're looking for candidates that pledge to support 50% renewable energy by 2030 and 100% renewable energy by 2050. So we are not endorsing a candidate, but really focusing on reaching out to particularly the student population and the other youth population and registering them to vote and engaging them in the upcoming election.
There was a poll a couple weeks ago, a Quinnipiac poll, that had Trump leading Hillary Clinton, but that poll was done by mostly people over the age of 35, which showed us that the millennial vote is going to be very, very important for this election. So again, as Lindsay said, our primary goal is to get out the vote for millennial voters, 35 and under, and making sure that they make their voices heard here in Pennsylvania, so that there's no excuses in November.
So my name is Paige Atchison, and this is the Put a Price on It campaign. So our goal is to put a price on carbon. The way that we're doing it is mobilizing young people. So we are recruiting students from across the country to really get involved with the campaign and actually, one, become informed about the policy and how it's so critical that as a country we get behind federal climate policy, and secondly, actually lobbying their members of Congress in support of a Oregon Climate's co-director Camila Thorndike testified to the DNC platform committee in support of a carbon price. And subsequently, we actually, as you might know, there's a carbon price included in the Democratic Party platform, which is pretty exciting and a big deal that they're really taking a stance in support of comprehensive climate policy. So in that sense, we are paying attention. But we're also nonpartisan.
So my name is Mike Ewall. I'm the founder and director of Energy Justice Network. We're a national, slightly international, group that helps communities fight dirty energy and waste facilities like incinerators, landfills, power plants, all kinds of things, including biomass, biofuels, things that a lot of people think are actually green but aren't. I'm also one of about 20 people who co-founded the Energy Action Coalition that puts on this conference. But we're not allowed to take positions on candidates, and as an organization, we do not do that. However, we're strong supporters of clean elections laws. This is not our organizational position, but personally, I'm voting Green Party for Jill Stein. She's the only candidate that is actually pro-environment. Hillary Clinton has done a ton of damage on that, and obviously Trump will be dreadful too, but for all the things that we fear about Trump, Clinton actually has a track record of actually doing it, and we can't support that. There's a clean energy march tomorrow that I'll be speaking at the rally before that march starts on nuclear issues and others.
I'm a delegate from Arizona for Bernie Sanders, and I am rooming with people that are involved in organizing this march. I am a high school principal, retired high school principal, and I've just seen so many brilliant kids who can't go to school because they don't have the money. I see kids on a daily basis who have catastrophic diseases and never seen a doctor, never seen a dentist. And in the richest country of the world, I think that's shameful. So that's why I feel the burn.
Okay. I'm curious to know, because it looks like Hillary Clinton is poised to become the leader of the DNC, and Bernie did endorse her. So how do you feel about that?
Anybody but Trump. Yeah, no, I like Hillary. I have always been an admirer of Hillary. So it was a tough decision, but I'm very happy with either one of them.
Kendall Hale, I'm a member of Beyond Extreme Energy from Asheville, North Carolina. And we made this banner, stop the TPP, stop or ban fracking, no drilling in the Gulf, and no eminent domain for private gain. And those are our hashtags to the public and to the DNC. Well, I think Bernie Sanders has on his platform that he wanted a ban on fracking, but that wasn't accepted by the Clinton platform. So, you know, I'm not real optimistic that she will do a lot to stop it, but I think possibly the drilling in the Gulf could be one.
My name is Lois Durso, and I am the email secretary for the Granny Peace Brigade. We decided to come today and tomorrow for the Poor People's March for Economic Human Rights. We'll be there tomorrow as well for that. We started anti-war, but we're anti-war social justice at this point. Clean power so that we are not polluting neighborhoods. And I find all too often they want to put plants in neighborhoods where there are high rates of asthma. I've already spoken to a few people that are here as delegates, and they have been reading signs. They have been looking around, and hopefully when they get to the point where they're voting on the floor of the convention, they'll think about that. They'll remember that. They'll remember what the people want.
I want to add something to that. I only see it as an opportunity because Bernie ran, and Bernie brought many opportunities to the to people all over the country.
I got the giant Bernie sign here. I know he's not the presumptive nominee for the Democratic National Convention, but I want to get his name out there. I think he's the best candidate for the job. Even if he doesn't win the nominee, I'll still be voting for him because I'm voting for what I feel is right for America. And that man's name is Bernie Sanders. So if Hillary becomes president, I mean, I'm not probably not going to go move to Canada or something to get out of America, but at the same time, I don't feel comfortable living in a nation with someone especially as lying, as cheaty, and greedy as she is. Just, she is, to me, part of the 1%. She wants to keep it that way. She is very corporate. She is very Wall Street. She was just paid by big banks to make speeches. And to me, that can't, I don't need a president like that. Like, same with Trump. You can't have someone with no qualifications running for president. And I feel like one of the biggest reasons she's so famed is because of Bill.
So can I just get your name and your background, where you're from?
Sure. Justin Coley, Birmingham, Alabama. And I work as a Spanish language interpreter and translator. I supported Bernie Sanders in the primary, although, to be honest, I was originally a Green Party, and I'm still a Green Party supporter. I'm concerned with the integrity of the electoral process in various states. I'm concerned with the way the primaries were held. And I'm also concerned about some of the underhanded tactics that seem to indicate there was some collusion between the party itself and the Clinton campaign.
What happens after Thursday if Hillary is the chosen one to go against Trump?
The Bernie movement will continue. There's no question about that. The thing about the Bernie movement is that it was the culmination of other movements that have been building and responding to crises to insults and injuries and injustices for years now. And so that movement has found itself and connected with each other through a vehicle that was the Sanders campaign.
I'm a rat. I'm a rat. I'm smarter than a dog and I'm smarter than a cat. I'm a rat. And I'm for Bernie. And I will write Bernie in. Because I'm not afraid of the big bad Trump. The big bad Trump. The big bad Trump. Who's afraid of the big bad Trump? Not me. I'm a rat. Ha ha.
Bernie has apparently endorsed Mrs. Clinton. So where do Bernie supporters pour their energies?
Well, I'll tell you my hit on it because I'm a spiritual brother. He has a man of integrity. When he committed to running as a Democrat, he committed to their rules. But I would love to see Jill Stein as president and Bernie run as vice president. Wouldn't that be a kick? Yeah. Rats united will never be defeated. The rats. You know, don't get me started. You know?
My name's Ashley Vaughn.
I noticed the sign you put in. Could you explain it?
Bernie or Jill Neverhill. I firmly believe that I'm not going to be pushed into voting for a candidate who I don't support. I don't trust her. I think that she's a liar. And I think that people need to be aware of the options that they have as far as third-party candidates go. So I don't see her as any better than Trump. She's not a better option. She's just as bad. I've got other options.
Yeah, my name is Connor. I'm from Atlantic City. And Bernie's a great step for people that are white in this country to help radicalize them. But for people of color, to be honest, I don't really believe like Bernie, like, I guess he wasn't in the front of their minds, you know? So I'm probably going to be voting for Jill Stein in the election. I'm still trying to work that out. Donald Trump is an outright white supremacist, but Hillary Clinton, you know, it's concealed. It's like it's always been in the North in this country. It's not in your face, but it's concealed. You know, you look at like the 2009 overthrow of the democratically elected leader in Honduras and replaced with a right-wing dictator, right? And she was a big part of that. And so was her VP choice, Mike Pence, who was actually a missionary in Honduras when that went down. So really, if we like look at, you know, Hillary Clinton's ideas and her beliefs, it's just hidden white supremacy. And so really, like, either way, you're voting to maintain a white supremacist capitalist corporate system. And so I think it's time to overthrow that system.
Why is the U.S. and Honduras in the first place? Right? We have a responsibility here in the U.S. to call for justice for Brett Sepulveda. In this election cycle, for the first time, people are talking about feminism and women's issues. But my feminism doesn't mean that we go and invade other countries and assassinate their environmental indigenous leaders.
My name is Margaret Quatton, and I'm here with the It Takes Roots Caravan, which is a part of Grassroots Global Justice. And it's made up of 45 activists and organizers from around the country and Honduras. And we've gone from the RNC to the DNC, stopping in Pittsburgh and stopping in Baltimore to build with movement activists there. Because we know that, like, long after, you know, whoever comes into office, we're going to be dealing with the after effects of Trump-style hate, particularly the rise of, like, you know, white rage and with Hillary-style militarism, particularly on our caravan is Laura Caceres, Berta Caceres' daughter, who was a Honduras, an activist in Honduras who was assassinated on March 2nd. And so particularly as a result of the U.S. intervention in Honduras and the coup that happened. So we're here to fight for justice for her, and particularly for a human rights bill that's going through Congress right now.
The United States finances and supports the Honduran government.
Con dinero para los militares y policía, pero también con entrenamiento.
Giving money to the military, to the police, but also giving them training.
No queremos esa ayuda, porque no es ayuda, es destrucción.
We do not want that kind of help. That's not help, that's destruction.
No queremos esas armas y no queremos ese dinero porque nos está matando.
We don't want those weapons. We don't want that money. It's killing us.
Por eso venimos acá también a pedirles a ustedes y que presionen a sus gobernantes para que se pueda aprobar la ley Berta Cáceres para los derechos humanos en Honduras.
That's why we've come here also to insist upon you to contact your representatives and tell them they must support the Berta Cáceres law to cut off military and police aid to Honduras.
So the next person I want to bring up is
Jerry. Where are you from?
He's been traveling around, inspiring me. He's been inspiring me for years. I really don't have to say much, but I want to be like you when I grow up, Danny Glover.
I'm going to read some quote. We really feel like there's still an issue here in America. And we want to be able to use our platforms. We want to be able to use our voices. We don't want to let anybody silence us in what we want to talk about. So, you guys, as you're talking about the press, ask anything about anything that's happening in society. That is Tanisha Wright.
Let me go up here so I can tip over.
Yeah. Mr. Right, do you have any concerns about the way there's not enough being said about imperialism over the course of this election? Because that's a major concern right now in the world. And we're hearing a lot about, climate, and we're hearing a lot about the possibility of a lesser evil. But where do things stand in terms of an imperial agenda? Libya, Syria, possible war with Russia. Is there a concern there that we can?
I think one of the things that is happening, and we have this opportunity in building this permanent revolution, is to broaden the whole conversation, the whole narrative, because imperialism has always been a part of it. Whether it's the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and what's happening in Syria, the overthrow of Gaddafi in Libya, and imperialism have always been the center point of U.S. policy. And it goes back entirely to its history, from its attempt to annex Cuba in the 1840s. So imperialism and expansionism has always been about that, control of resources. So how do we get to that conversation? How do we extend that conversation? We can talk about that conversation to some extent, because African descendants, more than 200 million African descendants live in this hemisphere. And this is the year of the decade of Afro descendants designated by the United Nations. So I think there's a conversation that has to be. And out of those 200 million, as much as nearly 90% of them live under the poverty line. So there's a way in which we can hook our own struggles up to the struggles that we see as we deal with issues of climate change, as we deal with issues around the removal, immigration, and climate immigration, immigration by conflict, failed states. All those are part of the possibility and our possibilities for deepening the conversation. Now, that's going to have to happen. We have to do that. The candidates are not going to do that.
That's a problem, of course, with the media. We've got so much of the message is being shaped by the mainstream media. So how do we get around that?
But we've made some really strides in terms of reshaping the narrative and talking about some other things as well.
Okay. Thanks so much.
We can't fall prey to the same mistake that we made in the past. We had to use the new lesson. We had to use this positive energy. And I'm so proud of young people out here. But not just the young people. I'm talking about people who are baby boomers like myself who are out here as well. I'm so proud of you all who are out here. Knowing that this is our moment. Knowing that we're on the right side of history. Knowing, as the great bard of the African-American community said, let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be a land where every man is free, every woman is free. That's the world we want to build. That's the relationship we want to build. Thank you for being here. Thank you.
The thing that attracted me to the Bernie Sanders campaign was that he wanted to use our money that we currently use for taxation and for spending, obviously, all this extra money that we spend in the trillions, for infrastructure in this country, for education reform, and to better our livelihoods as American citizens. The one thing that really attracted me with him over, of course, all the other candidates was that he supported the people, and the people definitely support him. In lieu of all the things that are happening right now with the DNC chair resigning, them coming out of the woodwork with the WikiLeaks, of course, exposing the corruption, which we've kind of had an inkling of for the last year, really opens up your eyes. I mean, it opens your mind to the possibility that these delegates and these politicians do not represent us. They openly represent the major corporations that want us to rely on them for all our daily needs.
Yesterday, some people sort of grudgingly stating, well, you know, lesser of two evils. Is that your perspective?
Absolutely not. I think that if we are going to have a president, Democratic, Republican, or independent, I feel that it's important that they stick to their word and that we know where they stand in terms of policies. Hillary Clinton is very wishy-washy on her policies. You ask her something and she changes the subject, or she uses empathy to gain your trust as opposed to analytical thinking. And I feel like that's really dangerous, especially with a lot of the things that have been exposed lately, a lot of these major corporations backing her, the media backing her and slandering the other candidates as well. And you had the DNC chair resign because of corruption. They were rigging the election. They got caught. Look at all the NPP votes that were thrown away across the nation. Lots of NPP votes thrown away because they were Bernie supporters. Bernie taken off the ballot. It's very obvious. It's right there under your nose. You can just see that they are doing everything in their power to stop him from being the president, because they know that he will act and he will give us the reform that the 99% need so that our country can flourish. And of course, with the people coming out of the woodwork to protest against that corruption, I think that the superdelegates will open their eyes and see. I spoke to a few of them yesterday when they came in to a store. They were looking for Chromebooks because apparently they got hacked and a lot of their data was exposed. And talking to these people, they even said that they were switching their support over to Bernie because they were under the impression that everything was being enacted fairly, and it wasn't. And once the exposure came out, you know, in plain eye view, they were switching sides. So I think that today's vote really counts. It counts not only just for the Democratic Party, but it counts for the American people as well. I mean, if they want to defeat Donald Trump in the national primary, then they need Bernie Sanders. Clinton will be destroyed by Donald Trump because he has the support of voters. Clinton does not.
Can you say anything about the security presence here in the city? I mean, is it over the top? Is it enough? What strikes you as a resident of this city?
What strikes me is that you have military police in full flak gear looking like they're preparing for a blitzkrieg of some kind by U.S. citizens. When your party is exposed for corruption and then you have to put up sniper towers and 8-foot barbed wire concrete walls, you look bad, okay? The same didn't go for the Republican National Convention. Right? It was very open-ended. You were able to freely move around the convention, and they had their security presence there in Cleveland surrounding the building, but they didn't build barricades to prevent people from storming it. I think that that's a sign alone that they know they're in the wrong as well, and they're protecting themselves and their own interests from the rioting of American citizens. I mean, we've been in this recession now for over 8 years after the Bush administration left us in great debt. And you look at our cities, you look at the roads, you look at our schools, everything's crumbling around us, and the people have had enough. And I think that military presence, of course, is deserved in a way, because people are tired of these 1%ers telling the rest of us 99% what to do and how to do it. There needs to be reform, and it needs to happen yesterday.
You're listening to the Global Research News Hour in the summer. My name is Michael Welch. This week, we're featuring special coverage of the 2016 Democratic National Convention with a focus on the voices in the streets, with messages for Democratic Party delegates. The show is podcast at the site globalresearch.ca, and airs on a number of partner radio stations across Canada and the United States. It also airs on the Progressive Radio Network at prn.fm. Monday, July 25th, the start of the convention. A number of groups are organizing demonstrations today. Bernie Sanders activists have organized a march from downtown to the South End where the convention is taking place. By the time the march arrives at the corner of Snyder and Broad Street, there are several hundred marching and chanting. Further down Broad Street, I see separate demonstrations. There's a group of maybe a dozen black people holding up signs condemning U.S. involvement in Haiti. There are also a number of individuals in a park adjoining Broad Street. They are holding signs and wearing different colored t-shirts.
My name's Laura Duncan. I'm here to protest Hillary.
You're protesting Hillary?
I'm protesting Hillary.
Why?
She's a criminal. She should be in jail for treason.
Okay. So do you have any affiliation with the Democrats or the Republicans? Or?
Not anymore, baby.
Mm-hmm. Not anymore. So you used to be a Democrat.
I was a Democrat. I voted in the primary. I've been Democrat for 20 years. As soon as all this is done, I'm done.
Okay.
I'm going to vote for Jill.
Jill.
Jill Stein.
Okay. Were you a supporter of Bernie Sanders?
Oh, yeah, from the beginning. I've given him buttloads of money, and I did calling for him. I couldn't go out and knock on doors, but they've got the Bernie dialer, mm-hmm. where you numbers come up and you call people and talk to them. Every last person was for Bernie. I'm from Michigan. We voted for Bernie overwhelmingly.
Okay. Why? What is the appeal of Bernie?
He's honest. He's probably the only honest politician in existence. And he's got good ideas.
Such as?
Oh, every last one of them. Down with the TPP. You better pay attention. Climate change. My God, it's 96 degrees out here. 96 degrees. Something's wrong with the climate. Minimum wage. I can't remember everything.
So there's a march coming along?
Yep. It's almost here.
Yeah, what can you tell us about it?
I don't know. It's big. It's bigger than it was yesterday.
Solidarity with Bernie.
Okay, so it's a pro-Bernie march.
Yep, pro-Bernie.
Okay.
And anti-Hillary.
Well, the DNC has been working with the media directly, and they've been working, you know, with other people in the DNC to knock Bernie down and lift Hillary up at the same time. Bernie got no media exposure throughout this whole thing. A lot of his exposure was from us. We are the media. We are the ones that put him out there. By posting on Facebook, starting websites, starting groups, coming here, and coming to other places to protest for Bernie, doing marches. I mean, there was marches in Hoboken, New Jersey, close to where I live, all through the campaign. We're tired of money in politics. We're tired of things being bought. We are the people. The people are the majority, and we're the ones that make America great. It's not the rich. It's not the 1%. It's us. We're the ones that create the wealth in this country.
I still hope, against hope, that something's going to happen and Bernie's going to win. I still hold out hope. I still think I'm going to lose 30 pounds, too. You know, but I just hope. I'm going to cry if he loses. I'm crying now. It's so sad. He was so close, and it was stolen from him. The whole primary was stolen from him. So, I think that's it. They stole it. I'm sad.
Thank you.
If he wins, I will dance naked in the streets. Oh, my God, will that be
I was just wondering if you wanted to say a little bit about what brings you out to this protest and what it's about for you.
It's about cleaning up our politics, protecting our planet, getting corporate money out of everything that we decide. It's Bernie's message. It's immigration reform. It's criminal justice reform. It's everything.
Is this a protest against Hillary?
It's not against Hillary. It's against what she stands for.
Okay. And that's what she stands for?
She stands for profit.
Okay. Are you based in Philadelphia, or are you an activist?
No, I'm from
New York.
Yeah.
Okay, so you came down, are you involved with either party?
I was Democrat? A Democrat, yeah.
Was a Democrat.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider myself one now.
Okay, and that's because?
They don't represent us.
Okay.
They actively fought against our voice in this election, and it's shameful.
Okay. So, for example, when you say they fought against your voice.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you heard about the WikiLeaks things, so, yeah. But I mean, everything, every instance of voter suppression is just good, laughing off of all of these people making this movement and calling Bernie and all the supporters these high in the sky, like crazy people, as if it's so much to demand equality and reasonable justice for people.
She gets elected in 100 days, she'll do something for the immigration. That's why, I mean, we tired, like every president comes and they say, we want
to come in to fight to make this the last corrupt billionaire-dominated voter suppression modern election we ever have to live through, or you're going to face mass civil disobedience every day of this convention. Yeah! We have said that it's time for the party leadership to pledge publicly that they will pass fundamental democracy reform in the first 100 days of a new administration.
Yeah.
That means voting rights,
yes,
an amendment to overturn Citizens United and public funding of elections,
yeah,
and prove their commitment to democracy by immediately abolishing superdelegates.
Yeah.
Yeah. In recent days, brothers and sisters, we've seen concessions in our direction. We've seen moves in our direction, and we got to celebrate that because that was driven by people power.
Yes!
We've seen Hillary come out and say she'll introduce an amendment to overturn Citizens United in the first 30 days. That's not far enough, but that's a win for the people. We saw them say, okay, we're going to reform superdelegates and take away two-thirds. They're going to have to follow the people. But no, that's not enough. But it's a sign of people power. It's a sign that we have to keep fighting.
Yes.
And so now we're going to march down and we're going to show them we will not accept anything less than a democracy for all. Plutocracy, no democracy, yes, we will fight until we win that. We're going to send a message today.
Yeah.
Are y'all ready to march?
Yeah.
Is somebody ready to sit up?
My name is Kate Hellman, and I am volunteering today with Democracy Springs. I am not really affiliated with them per se, but have been involved in nonviolent direct actions before. So I'm going to be helping with the jail support today, making sure that folks who signed up, got trained, filled out their info, and then actually showed up today get the support they need through that process over the next few hours today. Should be a pretty peaceful process. It'll be misdemeanors, like the highest level of arrest that can be, which is basically like a parking or a speeding ticket. Just going to be a sit-in. And then the rest of it will sort of unfold as the day goes on.
There are emails to prove this. While they said it was a fair and neutral election, it was not. This has been rigged by Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the entire DNC. They have failed us, and now they want our votes for Hillary Clinton. That will not happen. We are here sitting in because we will never vote for a corrupt candidate that, among other things, cannot beat Donald Trump. The only candidate who can beat Donald Trump is Bernie Sanders.
He looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
A young lady has just been, who's been sitting in, has been taken away by the police. Just as the sit-in's been going on now for about half an hour, I guess. It's 5 p.m. Thousands gathered right up front of this Wells Fargo Center gates at the AT&T station. Very spirited, proud in the heat. But it looks like a standoff right now. We'll see what's going to happen.
I'm Leah Cooper. I'm from San Francisco, Oregon originally, but I drove here from San Francisco with some friends of mine. We left on Wednesday. We got here Friday night. We're not delegates, but we came anyway because the people need to be heard. What's happening in this election is wrong, and it's about time somebody stood up and said something about it.
Could you talk, maybe give an example of what things going wrong within the election that you know about?
As I was saying earlier, just the fact that it's come down to two candidates that nobody likes, just that on its own should have everyone really angry and really upset. And then on top of that, just what I've witnessed myself and what my friends have seen in the process of working at the ballots, at the poll places and trying to count the votes and trying to keep track of what's happening with all of that stuff in California has just been hair-raising. We can't verify the vote. I mean, whether you believe there's fraud present or not, we can't tell because the vote count is such a steaming pile of chaos and weirdness and incompetence that we can't even tell. There's no exit polls. A bunch of the provisional ballots that we had in California just kind of went missing. Some of them got rewritten without the presidential stuff on them. Some of them had whiteout on them. Like this whole, it's a gigantic mess. So we're here to support Bernie. And even though Bernie's kind of behind enemy lines right now and keeps trying to tell us to endorse Hillary, this is a movement and he's just, Bernie endorsed Hillary. There have been millions of people already leaving the Democratic Party. I myself have switched over to the Green Party, and if Bernie isn't an option in November, I will be voting for Jill Stein instead. Because, I mean, voting for the lesser evil kind of slows you down as you're circling the drain, but it doesn't give you any shot to get out. Okay. So it's about time people started voting for something they can actually believe in instead of just voting out of fear.
That evening, after a rainstorm had broken out, about 200 or so Bernie Sanders supporters maintained a presence at the barricade while cops on both sides, with paddy wagons ready, looked on. The protesters taunted the police, as well as exiting delegates.
I got involved firstly because I saw town hall meetings, which you can watch on YouTube, from the Arizona primary election. They cut the polling locations, so people, like there was 100,000 students for one polling location. There were people in the most populous county that waited 5-6 hours in line in the heat. A lot of people couldn't wait that long. Okay, and then they got up there and they found out they weren't registered in the party that they've always been registered in, and they didn't get to vote. And then they were given a provisional ballot and those weren't counted. Oh my God. I can't believe this is the country I live in. I really can't. So I said, I need to get up off my chair. I phone banked for the first time. I donated money. I went to New York. I canvassed. It was scary. I cried, knocking on people's doors and asking them to listen to me. Some people weren't very nice, but some people were really nice, and that made it worth it. And that made me keep doing this. And every horrible thing that happened just strengthened my resolve. It made me see how messed up our elections are. How can we fix anything if we can't even elect a good candidate? How can we fix anything if we can't elect someone like Bernie Sanders?
What happens to the Bernie Sanders movement if Hillary ends up becoming the de facto nominee? Is there anybody but Trump sentiment, or go to Jill Stein, or what?
Actually, I'm anybody but Clinton. I think Clinton is a dangerous war criminal and should not be a person in power ever again. I would never vote for Trump, but I think I might prefer him before her. I really do. I think she would do more damage on a global scale. So I think the movement continues, no question. A lot of people will go green, but the really special thing about Bernie Sanders was all the different kinds of people brought together under his umbrella. Like, I know Republicans that would support him if he were the nominee. A lot of independents. I mean, come on, he's an independent that's half our electorate, literally. All the Democrats. I mean, you don't talk to a single Democrat that says, no, I wouldn't vote for Bernie if he was the nominee. You get a lot of libertarians, you get all the Greens. I mean, if they just nominate Bernie, he wins in a landslide. the most energetic volunteer base you've ever seen. Way more than Obama.
Over the course of the program, we've heard significant opposition from vocal Bernie Sanders supporters to voting for Hillary Clinton. Many indicated they would sooner direct their vote to Dr. Jill Stein, who is the Green Party's nominee for president. Even more intense condemnation of Hillary was expressed the following day, Tuesday, at a march in the afternoon, which started in the north end of Philadelphia. This march was intended to be a black resistance march against the DNC and involved a coalition of groups denouncing police and state violence against black people, and particularly the Democratic Party's role in enabling that violence.
Well, Lee, what we see today is child's play when they become adults. So let us represent the children, let us speak on their behalf, so they can really be entitled to freedom, justice, and equality. Thank you. All power to the people!
I'm a legal observer with the National Lawyers Guild and also the protest. The days that I'm not observing, I'm protesting.
Okay. Well, in terms of the issues at hand, there's a Democratic National Convention happening right now. What do you think that audiences should be keeping in mind with regard to Philadelphia and the elections and politics in general?
It all depends on the community that you're speaking about. If you're talking about the black community, which is my main focus, if you're talking about the black community, I think that the black community should keep in mind that neither party has done anything for the black community in this country. We've just finished having 8 years of a black president, and 8 years of a black president has cost us more children in poverty, more black children in poverty than ever before. 8 years of a black president has cost us we lost the most in the recession and have gained back the least. Eight years of a black president has cost us deaths of unarmed black men and women by police and vigilantes consistently through the 8 years with nothing to be done in place. People always talk about black-on-black crime and black-on-black violence, and they use that as an excuse to not talk about the repression and the oppression by state forces. And black-on-black violence is something that we have to deal with, but you deal with black-on-black violence by putting more opportunities in the communities where that violence is at. You deal with black-on-black violence by providing economic opportunities, by providing school opportunities, educational opportunities, by giving people options. Most of the violence is surrounded around the fact that there are little to no options in our communities. And that's not getting any better, no matter who the president is. It's not going to get any better with Hillary. It's surely not going to get any better with the Donald. So, you know, as far as my community is concerned, I don't know why, but we cling to the Democratic Party and continue to hope that they will do the right thing, which hasn't happened yet.
You're not feeling the burn?
I wasn't feeling the burn either. I wasn't. My thing is, you can't reform the Democratic Party from within. There's no way of reforming it from within. And what happened to Bernie Sanders should be proof enough that you cannot reform it from within. What the way that we went after him, the way that they made sure that Hillary Clinton would win the election, is proof positive that you can't reform it from within. So you're going to have to start all over. You're going to have to start all over with a new party. You're going to have to start all over with people who care about people and not about profits. And both of these parties are now concerned about the 1% and their profits and what they can do to be the root, what they can do be for a real ruling class of this country, which isn't the leaders, it's the 1%.
You do not need white sympathy.
You do not need white.
First name, but
sure thing.
I'm with the Real Justice Coalition. Real is an acronym, stands for Racial, Economic, and Legal. That's a local Philadelphia organization. That's why I'm here. So, my counterparts, my partners, helped organize this, so I'm just out here to support. Today's march is specifically to speak out against police brutality to black and brown people. I'm a victim of that myself, even though I can't get too in detail with it currently, but, you know, we're speaking out against police brutality. Okay, we're all aware of Donald Trump and the negative things that he said, but Hillary Clinton has actually done negative things. She's put people in harm's way by voting to invade Iraq. She was a big component of that 2009 Honduran coup, and the ramifications of that are still being felt at this very minute. Very high murder rate in Honduras today. And she was partially responsible for that. So, yeah, we just want to speak out on all these things and convey how connected they are as well. You know, it's not just a black and brown thing. This is connected, you know. It's connected.
My name is Michelle Grant, and I'm the co-chair of the Philadelphia chapter of the National Lawyers Guild.
Okay. Are you aware of any specific instances of police misconduct or that have been brought to your attention during the or before the DNC?
Well, we are. I mean, and generally, the Philadelphia police for the past several years have been working on a strategy of demilitarization, unlike what was seen in Cleveland and especially in places like Ferguson and in Baton Rouge recently. And they have been very willing to allow people to exercise their First Amendment rights and to do their marches, and they'll just do rolling roadblocks to prevent traffic accidents. We do have video of one person who was about to climb a fence and was sprayed with pepper spray, unfortunately, by a transit policeman. Our transit authority has its own police force. And one of them appears to have sprayed someone in the face when she was about a foot or two away from a fence before she was trying to climb it or doing anything. So that's going to be part of an investigation. We're also very concerned about the police shutting down the subway stop down there at the stadiums. We have one very long north-south bound subway, and the closest station to the stadiums, other than the one that they shut down, was almost a mile away. And the weather was extremely hot. I don't know the Canadian degrees for it, but it was, you know, it was 90 or 95 degrees Fahrenheit, and the heat index with the humidity was in the 100s and the low 100s. And it was dangerously hot, and yet they shut down the subway station when the Secret Service claimed that there was a security problem. And there were dozens and dozens of police around the stadium and around the station that could have done any kind of crowd control or credentials check and or so on when people were trying to get on the subway, but instead they shut the station down. And then kind of even more problematically than that, they were letting delegates into the station when they were not allowing protesters and demonstrators into the station, which that's a big First Amendment problem. It's a public utility, the subway, and they were preventing people from entering it just because they were going to be expressing something. And that's pretty fundamentally problematic for people trying to get in and out of that area, the Wells Fargo Center area.
Can you speak to other, call it irregularities, with regard to policing around the DNC?
Well, we did see that if you were arrested for violating a federal rule, then you would get into more trouble than if you were arrested for violating a city rule. And that was very strange. And what happened was, this was called a national special security event. So this is a Clinton-era law that allows the Secret Service to declare special circumstances around a large event. This would be like the Super Bowl or the DNC, things like that. And so the Secret Service delineated a perimeter around the Wells Fargo Center down by that subway station. And at the first afternoon, evening, some demonstrators decided to hop a fence and get themselves arrested to make their statement, getting arrested as a statement. It was very peaceful and it was very calm, and it was a lot of media and a lot of noise around it, but it was done safely, and the people were given a citation. They were essentially just a ticket. Now we can argue about whether they were arrested because they were moved away and taken away and then released, and you know, they were detained for a little while, and if you're an absolutist about what arrested means, then you could say that they were arrested. But the city will say that they were not arrested because there were no charges filed. Then the next day, the Secret Service decided that that was a security problem. They extended the perimeter to where this previous fence was. And then so when people jumped the fence the next day, they were arrested by federal law enforcement, and they were taken to the federal facility. I forget if it was the lockup or if it was just the federal courthouse in Center City. And now they're facing federal charges. So the only difference between the people on the first day and the second day was that they were just arrested by different entities. They hopped the fence in the same area, but because the perimeter was changed and they were arrested by different people, now they're facing different consequences. I think it was 104 people who were given citations by the city of Philadelphia, and I think it was 9 who were arrested by federal law enforcement.
Is there any other elements of the with regard to the DNC and policing and the legal system that you really feel should be brought to the attention of the wider public?
On a constitutional level, we have what I like to call an Article 1 solution for this. So Article 1 of the American Constitution defines what the Congress can do, the legislative branch can do. And Congress has given this power to the executive branch in the Secret Service to declare these national special security events. Congress can say the Secret Service has too much power. Congress can say we're going to exercise our check on the executive branch and not allow the Secret Service to do these kinds of things, like extending these perimeters after they've already been established, like shutting down public transit for people who live and work here and are demonstrating here versus the visiting delegates. If Congress had not been sort of focusing for the past 8 years on being, you know, insane about President Obama and focusing on what it has to do on its actual job, we could be looking at this executive overreach and we could be checking it. And I really wish going forward that Congress could look at these national special security events and say, why are we giving the executive branch so much power to interfere with the constitutional rights of our citizens? And people are unable to express their First Amendment rights, when the Secret Service comes in and shuts everything down like this. It's what we like to call a chilling effect. kind of the opposite with the heat, right? But it's a chilling effect if you think, well, you know, yet last night, on Monday night, I went down and they shut down the train station. That really was a long walk back up to the Oregon station. So maybe I'm not going to go down on Tuesday and Wednesday night when the weather's going to be even worse. Well, that's a chilling effect. If you're deciding not to go and express yourself because you think the Secret Service, the executive branch, is going to be preventing you from getting on the subway, then you don't have as much of a First Amendment right as you did the day before.
Over the course of the last hour, we've been listening to the 2016 Democratic National Convention, Voices from the Streets of Philadelphia. It was recorded and prepared for radio by myself, Michael Welch. Part of the track Streets of Philadelphia by Bruce Springsteen was included. Global Research NewsHour airs weekly on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg and on partner radio stations across Canada and the United States. We can also be heard on the Progressive Radio Network at prn.fm. Global Research News Hour is podcast at the site globalresearch.ca. To leave feedback, email globalresearchnewshour@gmail.com. My name is Michael Welch.